Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Very blessed and joyous Easter to all of you. God's richest blessings on this glorious day. What is it that we're really celebrating on the festival of Easter? We are celebrating an empty tomb. Now, an empty tomb by itself may not be all that remarkable. There are many empty tombs waiting to be occupied by the person for whom they have been prepared. But there's only ever been one that was occupied and never will be again because its occupant has risen from the dead, never to die again. That is the reason we celebrate the empty tomb of Jesus on this festival of Easter. From what you know about all of the religions of the world, aside from Christianity, you probably know that only the Christian religion is the one that talks about its founder having an empty tomb, having risen from the dead. Think about Judaism, Abraham, the forefather of believers in the Bible, is often considered to be the founder of the Jewish religion. But of course, he died about 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus. And the Bible records where his tomb is located in Hebron in southern Israel, and that the traditional site of Abraham's tomb is still observed and visited there by observant religious Jews still today. And of Buddhism, ascribed to be founded by the Buddha Sakyamuni. He also was recorded as having died, and although there is, I believe, no tomb that his followers go to and observe, but yet his death was indeed recorded in history. Islam, which is adhered to by over 1 billion people in the world today, the founder Muhammad, also was recorded to have died in Medina in the year 632 AD, and he is buried there still today. Millions, probably, of devout Muslims every year visit his tomb. And so out of those other major world religions, aside from Christianity, none of them claim the resurrection of their founder. Instead, the founders of those religions all lie, or their bones at least, lie in their tombs. Even in more modern religions, some founded in our own country, the founder of the religion, the pseudo-Christian religion, Christian Science, who initially claimed that there was no such thing as death for true believers, she eventually did also die, and her tomb is now outside Boston in Massachusetts, and adherents to the Christian Science religion still visit her tomb today. But in true Christianity, we have something else. We have an empty tomb, the empty tomb of our founder, who is not only a human being, but who himself is true God, the very eternal Son of God. We have the broken seal on the tomb, the seal that had been set by the Roman guard under the order of the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. The large stone that had been placed over the opening of the tomb rolled away from that door of the tomb. Jesus and his body does not lie rotting in a tomb in Judea. No, he lives and he reigns to all eternity. He has risen just as he said, just as the angel testified to those women on that first Easter morning. And because he has risen, we can also affirm that Christ Jesus is indeed the Son of God, just as he said, and that all of his teachings are true, and that God the Father has accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross in payment for the sins of the entire world, for your sins and for mine. And that just as Jesus has promised, all believers in him will rise for eternal life with him in heaven. Because of the empty tomb of Jesus, you and I have eternal life that has already begun when we came to faith in Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Eternal life that will never end. Even though our bodies may die, our souls will never perish forever in hell. But we will live forever with God in heaven. We will see Jesus face to face. And so just as the angel and Jesus called on those women, those first eyewitnesses of the empty tomb to do, God also calls on us to go quickly and to tell others the good news of his resurrection and all that it means for us and for the people of the world. So let's spend a little more time focusing on that question. What does the empty tomb mean for your life today? Well, again, it is proof that Christ has risen from the dead, and that God the Father, in raising Jesus from the dead, has finished the work of all humankind's redemption. There are some people who say that Jesus failed in his mission. They say that if Jesus had succeeded in his task, then he would not have been rejected by his people. He would not have been put to death on a cross. How tragic it is that they are missing the true nature of Christ's mission and the true nature of our God. The point is that through Jesus, God did indeed finish our redemption in the face of the rejection that he faced at the hands of his own people. That is the kind of God that we have. Not a God of our puny misconceptions of him, God's kind of God, a God who goes on loving us even when we ignore him. Just as the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What a God. What a Savior. What a love. And that's the kind of God that you have today. One who loves you even in the face of rejection. God loves you, and there is nothing that you can do to make him stop loving you. He loves you and me even when, in effect, we reject him by living out our lives at times unmindful of him, uncaring of his will for our lives. Think back on your life this past week. Did you, every day of the week when you got up, begin your day with prayer, asking for God's guidance and blessing on you and on your schedule and on the events of the day? Or perhaps have you been trying to salvage a crumbling relationship with another person just by human means, by your own effort, instead of first calling on God in prayer and asking for his blessing, for him as the great physician and the healer to restore you to each other? Have you agonized in loneliness and despair and wondered why God isn't speaking to you, and all the time your Bible remains closed, your baptism remains forgotten, the Lord's Supper remains ignored as a living source of God's power by which he wants to feed you and uplift you and comfort you? Yes, when you and I truly and honestly examine our lives, we must confess that we often live as if Christ didn't really exist as a personal reality in our lives. We often live as practical atheists. Even though we call ourselves Christians, we live the as-if life, as if Jesus were still in the tomb, dead, and not alive in our hearts and in our homes and in our workplaces today. The Apostle Paul speaks for all of us in this struggle that we have within our hearts and our lives as Christians who still have a sinful nature, as he writes in Romans chapter 7, "My own behavior baffles me, for I find myself doing what I really hate. It must be sin that has made its home in my nature." I often find that I have the will to do good, but I cannot carry it out. That is, I don't accomplish the good I set out to do, and the evil I don't really want to do, I find I am always doing. For left to myself, I serve the law of God with my mind, but in my unspiritual nature, I serve the law of sin. It's an agonizing situation, and who can set me free from the prison of this mortal body? I thank God that there is a way out through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so you and I also need to say this happy Easter morning, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And thank you, Lord, that there is a way out of the tomb of self-centeredness that we often have gotten ourselves into. It is Jesus who burst forth from the tomb and who now frees us from our old sinful selves by his resurrection from the dead. There is our Easter hope and joy, because we are redeemed and forgiven people by Jesus, our Savior. And in our sermon text today from Matthew chapter 28, the Holy Spirit now calls us twice to believe and to act in four different ways. First, the angel told the women that Jesus was going before them to Galilee, and he said, "You will see him." And later, Jesus met them and repeated the assurance and told them to go and tell Jesus' disciples, "They will see me." And you, here today, you will see Jesus again today in his real presence, with his body and blood, together with the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper that we are about to celebrate again this morning. You will see him there in his body that was broken on the cross for you, and his blood that was shed on the cross for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will also see him one day face to face on the last day as you greet your risen Lord and Savior, your Easter King, then to be in his presence forever in his heavenly home. Second, the angel, and then later also our Lord, says, "Go and tell." Celebrating the empty tomb of Jesus this Easter morning is not just about acknowledging some facts about Jesus' resurrection. No, as the disciples testified when they were commanded by the leaders of the Jewish people a short time after Jesus' resurrection to stop telling everyone about Jesus, that he is the Savior. In Acts chapter 4, they testified, "We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And so we too are compelled with joy to share this good news of Jesus and his resurrection and his forgiveness and salvation with everyone that we meet, telling them that God has reconciled the world to himself through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of his Son. And so just as the angel and Jesus charged those women and the first disciples, so our Savior also charges us to go and tell this wonderful good news. Third, the words "quickly" and "hurried" and "ran" are used in our text. "Go quickly," the angel told the women. And they went quickly. And so, you and I also need to get moving with joy, just as those first disciples did. It's not just "here we stand," but "here we go" with the great good news of Easter Day. And fourth, the angel and then Jesus himself promise that you will see Jesus. These are only two of about 9,000 promises of God to us in the Bible. We have a God of promises, and God always keeps his promises to us now in this life and in the life to come. That's the God that you and I know and cherish and are gracious and thankful towards, a God who is real and alive, a God who moves us to go and tell others about himself. What a great God we have to worship this Easter morning. Unlike the leaders of the other religions of the world, whose bones are lying in their graves, the tomb of our Savior Jesus is empty. He is risen, just as he said. And because of this, we know that he has completed the work of our redemption, and that we who once were lost now are found, and now can call God our Father in heaven because of Jesus, our Savior and our brother. Jesus wants you to let him live at the center of your life right now, giving you meaning and healing, peace and power, even in the face of sadness and sorrow, suffering, death, and despair. I know and believe this with all my heart. And on this joyous Easter morn, may God grant that you also may know and believe it until that day when you will see your Savior face to face and see also all your loved ones who have died in faith in him as well. Face to face, to live and to reign with him into all eternity by his grace. Amen.